to the Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live here from our studios, and our studios are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in beautiful Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends, on this Monday afternoon, and we're beginning a brand new week of broadcasting live right here on the Grace Hour, and our theme this week will be the subject of freedom and faith. And these two, of course, go together quite well, and we'll be discussing this theme and enlarging it and defining it as the week progresses. So stay with us, please, if you're able to, not only for today's broadcast, but throughout the week. And we're going to get things started in just a couple of moments with a live devotional message that, of course, will be followed up by your phone calls. We'll open the phone lines here at the Grace Hour and invite our listeners to join us. And if you're anywhere in the continental United States, you can join us live by dialing the toll-free number, which is 800-338-7060. And you dial that toll-free number, you can join us live on the broadcast, share your thoughts, questions, comments, your testimonies, a counseling need that we could assist you with if you would like to reach out in that capacity. And, of course, your prayer requests, they're always welcome here at the Grace Hour. And we encourage you to share those requests with us here at the Grace Hour, and we'll pass them on to our listeners around the globe. We'd like to welcome our local listeners tuning in to the Grace Hour today here in Baltimore on WRBS for the first half hour of our live hour-long broadcast. And we want to welcome all of you today and remind you that you can join us on that local number, 410-483-3700. And everyone else is listening live on the internet at gracehour.org. And folks are tuning in around the globe today to be with us and to get this new week of broadcasting started live right here on the Grace Hour. And everyone else, of course, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, we appreciate all of you joining us today, and then very much look forward to those of you that have the opportunity to reach out to us, give us a call live on one of those numbers, and join us for the Monday edition of the Grace Hour. Freedom and faith. And I'm excited and looking forward to seeing how Pastor Schibelli is going to frame our theme on this Monday afternoon. Welcome.
Thank God it's not like framing windows on a house or something.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
Whatever. We're going to, first of all, look at Hebrews chapter 12. And when we think about freedom and faith, that's a great thought, great subject. Really, because unbelief brings nothing but bondage with it. In Hebrews 12, I want us to look at verse 2 in particular. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, but it's not really our faith. It's the O-U-R. It's not there. It's in italics. Looking unto Jesus, the author, archegos, and the finisher, teleotes, of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising, right? I love that. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Think about, before we get onto the subject of freedom of faith, let's think about faith and its sources. There are five major sources for faith, as we see in the scriptures. Number one, faith works by love. Galatians 5:6. Faith, energeo, faith has its energy source from love. Love produces faith. When you know somebody loves you, you trust them. Faith and love. Second source is Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When I read God's word, when I study God's word, when I listen to God's word, then that produces faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing is specifically from the Word of God. Third source of faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith, the Holy Spirit. If you read Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is faith. So the Holy Spirit has faith. That's amazing. It's the truth we all know, but sometimes when you think about it, the Holy Spirit has faith. Then 2 Peter 1:1, Peter talks about having like precious faith. The faith of the church or the body of Christ. You see it also in 1 Thessalonians 3:7 and 8. Because you have faith, we stand. Church members, members of the church, body life, members of the body of Christ. And then going back to the first verse we read, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, or of faith. And we look to the life of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done. The example of who he is and what he's done, and that produces faith. So these five sources of faith, there they are. They're the source of faith, and that gives us incredible freedom. We are set free. I was thinking about some of the prisons a person could live in, and yet faith wants to set you free from each one of these prisons. Each one of these prisons. First of all, the prison of the old sin nature, the flesh or self. Having faith in the new man and the Spirit of God, new creation, sets me free from the prison of myself. That's the old sin nature, and it controls a person. They get saved, and yet they still have that old sin nature. But yet now living within them is the person of the Holy Spirit who's made them a new man. And so having faith in the new man delivers me from the prison of self or the flesh. The second prison is the prison of sin. Faith and mercy deliver me from the prison of sin. It's only mercy in James 2:13 that rejoices over judgment. So faith and mercy set me free from the prison of sin. In all of our lifetime, sin, falling short of God's glory, who God is and what God has done. The prison of sin has captured so many people. Third prison, the prison of the devil. The devil and demons want to put people in prison. And many times, because of his subtlety and his deception, you never even know it's him that's behind what's taking place. What delivers me from the prison of the devil? Faith and the Word of God and the finished work of the cross. Faith, the Word of God, and the finished work of the cross delivers me from the prison of the devil. The enemy, Satan, hates the cross. Because the cross is where he was finished, positionally. Faith and the cross and God's word. Remember how Satan had to flee every time Jesus quoted the scriptures in Matthew chapter 4? What about the prison of the past? Some people live in a prison of the past. They can never stop thinking about what has taken place in their past. And it becomes a prison. Well, I've tried that many times, but I can't do that, you know. And they're a prisoner of their past. When Paul says in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, forgetting those things that are behind, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. How do we get delivered from the prison of the past? We have faith in the life that God gives us here and now, in the present. Prison of the past, faith, and this present Zoe life that we live. How about the prison of law? That's prison number five, the prison of law. Faith and grace deliver us from the prison of the law. For the law could make no one perfect. The law could make no one perfect. Romans 5:2 says, by faith we have access into this grace when we stand. Prison number six, the prison of the world. How do I get free from the prison of this world? That which is alien from and opposed to the life of God. How do I get delivered? Faith and the church, the body of Christ. I'm delivered from the prison of this world. How about the prison of the temporal? How do I get delivered from the prison of the temporal? Faith and that which is eternal. So freedom, think about it. The prison of self, faith in the new man. The prison of sin, faith in mercy. The prison of the devil, faith and the cross in God's word. The prison of the past, faith in the present Zoe life that I'm receiving. The prison of the law, faith and grace. The prison of the world, faith and the body. The prison of the temporal, faith and the eternal. Oh, how much God wants us to be delivered from these prisons. Being delivered from these prisons, not to remain there. I love Acts 16:26 when Paul and Silas were in prison. They were praising the Lord. They were singing praises to God, and they were praising the Lord. And all of a sudden, an earthquake took place. And the foundations of the prison began to shake, and the doors were open, and they were set free from that prison. The man in Mark 5 that had all those demons in him, Jesus came and set him free. Faith and freedom. He trusted in God. Faith and freedom. The woman with the issue of blood, faith and freedom. And her disease was absolutely cured. The man who was dead, don't even come. My son is passed, you know. Jesus went there. And he raised him, the little girl. He raised her from the dead, the prison of death. And Jesus delivers. Faith and freedom, they go together. They're one and the same. And it's amazing. But if I live in unbelief, what damage that unbelief does. It's incredible. Unbelief keeps me living in my old sin nature. Keeps me in the prison of sin, the prison of the devil, the prison of the past, the prison of the law, the prison of the world, the prison of that which is temporal. And God says, I got the keys. I want to open up the prison, and they are keys of faith. Remember, Jesus had the keys? He had the keys in Revelation chapter 1. He has the keys. So as we close this devotional, we really thank God that he sets us free. He sets us free from these prisons. And faith is how it takes place. Faith and freedom. So let's continue to receive from the sources of faith so that we can be people who are truly free. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.
And amen. You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, and devotion we just shared with you means that we're going to open the phone lines and invite you to join us. And you can do so simply by picking up a phone, dialing one of the following numbers. Toll free in North America is 800-338-7060. And the local number here in Baltimore, if you'd like to join us, we hope many of you will, 410-483-3700. And fill up those phone lines today with your comments and questions, testimonies. If you have a counseling need, maybe you are in some kind of bondage, and maybe you need deliverance. Maybe you need to be set free. Well, you know, based upon what the words of Jesus were, you will know the truth, and the truth is what liberates us. The truth is what sets us free. And some people, Pastor Shabelli, have a hard time when they're confronted with the truth, and in many cases because they don't respond to the truth. They don't acknowledge the truth. They don't agree with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They remain imprisoned.
Yes, in bondage, in prison. I could tell you so many years of working in prisons and working with people that had alcohol and drug problems. I mean, you tell them, you know, this is simply how it takes place, freedom from this substance, this abuse, what's taking place. And they're looking for some kind of a program. They're looking for something that they want, they think it's going to take years for that to take place when you could be delivered in a moment. We look at some of these things in Mark chapter 5, some of these situations, and that man was delivered in a moment of time. The daughter was raised in a moment of time. The disease was gone immediately. By the way, Mark uses this word immediately quite often, you know. And actually the word immediately means agreeing with the moment. That's what it means in the Greek language. So absolutely. And by the way, don't you think there's some people that enjoy their prisons? I mean, I think there are. They may not admit it to you or say it, but, you know, I've seen some people that really were very frightened about coming out of prison after long-term sentences. They didn't know how they could relate to society. And then when they seemed to go out there and do something in the wrong direction, came back, it seems like they were happy to be back. So strange. You can get used to the bondage, right?
Yes.
You can become accustomed to the bondages that we live in, and they become like something that's just always taking place, and we get this defeatist attitude that this could never go. This could never go. And I'm not talking about just major things. It could be anything. Somebody that lives with anxiety. Somebody that lives with fear. Fear is a prison. Anxiety is a prison. Doubt's a prison. I mean, really, these are prisons that people live in. We can all live in them, and yet God wants to set us free. How does God set us free from anxiety? Through the peace that passes understanding. How does God set us free from fear? Perfect love does what? Casts out fear. How does God set us free from doubt or that which is uncertain? By giving us all those certain things based upon his character and his word and his life. So God absolutely wants to deliver me, deliver you, deliver all of us from any area, and we could easily fall back into it. And you've seen, you know, there's things in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 that are called besetting sins. They're just the sin that so easily besets you. You're so easily entangled up. And we know, if we're really honest, there are certain things that could easily happen to us, that could easily tangle us up. But what's the answer? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. And we get delivered. We get delivered by faith from the, and we are free. We are free rather than living in this incredible bondage, you know. And by the way, it's very interesting. Sometimes people, they have small bad habits. Look at people with large ones and they kind of like, you know, judge them or point at them, you know. Oh, I would never do that. I can't do that. I wouldn't do that, you know. But there's something else that they're in bondage to, you know. It could be something very insignificant, maybe that wouldn't put you in jail. But I used to always, I listen to people sometimes in the court systems, and they'd say, you know what that guy did, and what he's about, they ought to throw the book at him. And maybe that person, who knows what they're doing, you know. It might be something small, maybe something that would never even cross the line of a criminal action, but it's still a pattern, and it's a bondage.
It's interesting, like you said, sometimes your bondage can become your comfort zone. You can become so used to it and so adapted to it that you say, you know, I don't know where faith would bring me. I don't know what would happen if I took that step of faith and sought freedom. It may be uncomfortable. It may be difficult to make that adjustment. But again, you don't want to get comfortable in your bondage.
That's the worst that can happen. You want to be very uncomfortable in your bondage. And you want to be like, I need to get out of this.
Yeah, because you could be thinking, I might not. Maybe I don't need to get out of it. Maybe I'm all right.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Maybe this is what it's supposed to be, you know? Mm. And I begin to listen to people. How about people that are they're in bondage to, I said the world, but culture, certain ways of doing things. And you bring in something unique or different, and they look at you like something's wrong with you, you know? And yet they're in bondage to their culture. There's some cultures that have multiplicity of wives, some cultures that just elevate drinking to the utmost, you know? Some cultures that are just absolutely gambling criminals. I think you know what I'm talking about, some of these things. Some certain cultures really gravitate towards certain sins or that which is not of God, and they become patterns. They become patterns, and that's a cultural pattern of a group of people. And it's really interesting when you see that taking place, you know?
No question about it. Now, we're calling our theme this week Freedom and Faith, but perhaps we should reverse it, because it's faith that brings the freedom.
Faith that brings the freedom.
Yeah, because without faith, we know, well, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to know Him. And the one that comes to Him has to come on the basis of faith. So, yeah, I think it begins with faith. We have to take that step.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people look at that step of faith as like, well, that's just over the top. I don't think I can do that. How can I have faith in something I can't see? Or how can I have, you know, step out into the seeming void?
Mm-hmm.
But I love the way it's described by one man of God. He says, faith is stepping out in the seeming void, but finding the rock beneath.
Hmm.
I mean, there's great foundation, there's great evidence, there's great proof there. I know the world always operates from this position. Show me, and I'll believe. And God, He takes the opposite position. He says, no, you believe me, and then I'll show you.
Yeah. I mean, think about this. Peter had a prison he was in, and it was like Galilean fisherman culture, you know, the way that a fisherman would naturally think. Jesus did 5 miracles on his lake, which is amazing. 5 miracles on the lake. Matthew 8, right? Stilled the storm, right? Matthew 16, 14, walks on water. Matthew 17, right? Coin out of a fish's mouth. Luke 5, miraculous catch. John 21, miraculous catch. He did 5 sea miracles, like all related to Peter's life, to deliver him from the prison of that culture that he was kind of controlled by and living in. It's quite something when you think about that. He knew exactly what Peter needed, you know, to get delivered from that. And so that from now on, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. That's it for fishing for fish. You're finished, you know? Mm. Can you imagine getting a coin out of a fish's mouth? That's like unbelievable. I mean, you know, I can't imagine.
I wish we could pay our taxes that way.
Yeah, I can see like still a storm and, I can't see. Walking on water is quite unusually miraculous, you know, but in the miraculous catches, too, of the fish, you know, throw your hook in, pull the fish out and pay the tax, will you?
Wow.
I mean, it, by the way, it's very personal, very practical miracle, you know, but they had to have faith, had to believe God, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it is fascinating to think that Peter spent a good portion of his life out on the water, in the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, to think that, I mean, a relationship with Christ, that faith brings you out of the boat. And I don't know if any of the other disciples can say this, but Peter can.
Yeah.
I walked on water.
Yeah.
Maybe not for very long, but I did it. Whereas the other disciples essentially said, we'll take the comfort zone of the boat.
The second way was better. He walked on water, then he took his eyes off of Jesus. He started to sink. Jesus pulled him up, and he walked on water with Jesus.
Yeah.
I think that last part's much better.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And really, you think about that, and it's faith. He had faith in God. He had faith to go out. Okay, he failed, you know? And by the way, a lot of people never take steps of faith because they think about failure. They're thinking about failure. You know, what's going to happen? They think about failure. They think about it's not working. It's not going to work. And they never take a step of faith. And they never really experience God, where they could really experience God in the most unusual and unique way. And I think that's very important. Faith and freedom. How about living in the bondage of the way I've always lived my Christian life? And, I mean, it can be good. Remember that message? It was good. It was God, but now it's gone. It was good. And it was definitely God, but it's over. It's over, you know? So, like, when I tried to, like, continue to stay doing the work I had done for years, and God was calling me to Africa, I'm like, nah, that ain't going to happen. That's not where I... No. I'm working with people that have drug problems, alcohol problems, pill-taking problems, you know, crime problems. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And God said, that's very nice. That's very nice. I think I'm going to... bring you something. It's going to be something different, you know? And you can have faith and have freedom doing something, but what happens if one day with God, that's over? He said, that's finished. No more of that. No more of that. I want you to do this now, you know?
Yeah.
And I can get in bondage to that which was of God in the past.
Wow.
That's an interesting bondage, you know? That's an interesting bondage.
Well, the phone lines are open, friends. You can join us at 800-338-7060. And locally, right here in Baltimore, you can call us at 410-483-3700.
Call us up. Hello out there.
In radio and...
Radio land, Africa land. Where you can call us from Africa. What's the big deal? Come on, it's only a few pennies, dimes, or quarters.
Give us a call wherever you are.
Yeah, wherever you are, Asia. How about India? We haven't had a call from India in quite a long time. Maybe, are we really late there? Is it really late in India? Probably is. In India, probably is. If it's 1 o'clock.
It's nighttime.
Yeah, it's definitely nighttime. But some people could be up listening.
Oh, I think we have a lot of listeners that tune in.
How about Robert Osaga? He calls sometimes from deep in the Uganda forest near the Congolese border. And you could call us. And somebody from Hungary, somebody from Finland, somebody from Russia, somebody from India. Come on.
South America.
Chile.
Argentina. Brazil.
Where's Oliver?
Yeah, wouldn't we love to hear from
Oliver? We haven't heard anything from Oliver in so long.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Did you forget us?
Pastor Stan is listening live to the Grace Hour on the internet there. And if he's back there. He was here recently.
Yeah, that's true.
If he's back there. But we'd love to hear from you, friends. Take advantage of this opportunity and fill up those phone lines. We're going to sign off here pretty soon on the first half hour of our broadcast, but we have another half hour coming up, and we always make your phone calls the priority in that second half hour, so please take the opportunity and join us. What a story Peter had to tell his children or grandchildren. You know, imagine sitting down and saying, hey, did I ever tell you the time I walked on water?
Huh? What do you say? I think Grandpa's had too much to drink.
Yeah.
I think Grandpa's not. I don't know what happened to Grandpa. I must be losing it.
Yeah, he said he walked on water. And, you know, that's amazing that you have that. Faith will do that. It will bring you places and show you things that you never even imagined. It'll take you out of a natural existence and bring you into a supernatural way of living. Well, friends, we've finished the first half hour of our broadcast already, and we have to sign off on our local station here in Baltimore and WRBS, but thank you for joining us. And as we mentioned so often, if you can, you can transition over to the internet at gracehour.org. And join us for the next half hour. Everyone else, stay right where you are. We're ready to take your calls. We're back with you live, friends, at gracehour.org, Facebook Live, and YouTube Live. And looking forward to having you join us. Tess is listening and watching from Malmo, Sweden, says, thanks be to God for all the blessings and having the freedom to worship him and read his word without fear of persecution. Regards from Malmo, Sweden. Thank you, Tess. That is a great blessing and does make you wonder, you know, will we continue to have that kind of freedom before the potential of persecution in that realm comes? It could happen, couldn't it?
Absolutely. We have no idea what's coming down the road, you know. God does. God knows. And by the way, God knows what's good for us, spiritually speaking. I mean, if he could see in a certain group of people or a certain country, certain place, a lot of passivity and familiarity with the Bible and the Word of God and church and all that, I mean, he could just say, I think I'll pluck this away. And let's see how serious you really are about this, you know. And I read a story about how In the communist days, they had some women that were believers, and they really were strong believers. And they would read their Bible and be singing. And one day, they stripped them of all their clothes and put them out in the winter cold. And they just kept singing and talking about the scriptures. And they were so amazed at what these women were still doing that they just went back, got their clothes, and brought them back in and realized that what's going on here? Maybe there's something about what they're singing about, talking about all the time, you know. So it's incredible. They lived by faith in God, and they were free.
Wow.
You can be free, yeah, in prison. Maybe you're listening to us from a prison cell somewhere, but you can have absolute freedom in your soul. You can have freedom within you, even though you're in the confines of something. And that can mean that maybe I'm not well, maybe older age, something has set in that like limits me or prohibits me from doing the things I used to to do. I can have great freedom. In the middle of that, by just looking to God.
Yeah. Amen. Well, both you and I, Pastor Schiavelli, have had the great privilege of going into some of these facilities, maximum security facilities, mm-hmm. Federal prisons, state prisons. And isn't the worship of these men extraordinary, genuine, real, and authentic, unlike you've ever seen?
Yeah.
Because they're not doing it to get out because right. they're not getting out.
They're never getting out.
So
right.
you have to ask yourself, you know, is this real? And the answer is
yes.
Yes. It's amazing. It's so pure, and you can join in it and participate mm-hmm. in it. And it just can't help but marvel at the way they worship God. It's real.
They've been given a ministry. See, God gave them a ministry right where they are, and they've been people that have received it. And I've met people that, even when they had a chance to go on parole, they didn't. They just said, no, I don't think so. I think God's called me to be here. You know, when God tells me to go on parole, I'll go on parole. But, you know, it can be very interesting along those lines. So faith and freedom. What an amazing thing. And sometimes, by the way, sometimes people have no idea the bondage that they're in. It could be small things, you know. It could be small things like, wow, somebody moved this in my house. They moved the chair 13 inches to the right side. And I get, it goes over here, you know. And I'm just in bondage to the way everything is supposed to be set up, you know, and everything is supposed to be. And I know there's nothing wrong with that, having order and whatnot. But boy, if somebody comes in and rattles the cage a bit, it's very interesting, you know, yeah. what can happen. You might find that somebody takes a look at it and says, boy, am I in bondage to where the way this is supposed to go? Mm-hmm. What's supposed to take place here? Where are they? It's great time for Grace Hour, you know?
Mm, it sure is. Yeah. Grace Hour. We're still going for the next half hour, friends. So this is a great opportunity to give us a call, Lee. Toll-free number in all of North America is 800-338-7060, the local number 410-483-3700. And, you know, one of our good friends from up in Canada, Lise, she was here. Is she still here?
I don't know.
Well, she has been here. I didn't get a chance to greet her and say hello to her.
I was with her on Soul Winning
the
other day. Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Well, maybe she's still here, and if she's listening, give us a call. You don't have to be in Canada to call
right.
us now.
You can call
us
from right here.
Right here in Baltimore.
Now, she has a question. What was the message? The message was simply this. It was good, and it was God, but it's gone. Okay? It was good. It was God, but it's gone. That was the message I was talking about. Then we have Marion Aitchen making a few comments here.
Yeah, she said, we are the set-apart ones. That was the message you shared.
Saturday
afternoon at the outreach meeting.
Yeah, after the lunch wrap.
Romans chapter 8, verse 1, she comments, it says, no condemnation. Always glad to hear that.
Yeah, that's great freedom, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, like Jesus said, 70 times 7. Now, what does that mean to you? That means, I mean, that's unlimited. In other words, I could sin and then sin and sin. This morning, I thought about two words, and they kind of go together. Sin makes me a disgrace, but then comes grace. You know, in other words, sin disgraces, whatever. But I just thought of those two words, disgrace and grace, you know, that in the middle of what the enemy would project at us, you've made yourself, look what you've done. What are you doing as a believer, you know?
Yeah.
What else we have here?
Lester Pinto writes, hi, pastors. Great devotion on the bondage of fear and how faith delivers us from all of it. Just a mustard seed of faith is all it takes to deliver us from being a prisoner to all that which comes from this world system. And that was well said. Perfect love casts out the fear. Amen. Just
God.
Love that statement.
Yeah.
Amen.
God. I mean, think of bondage, prison. We always think of it a certain way. You know, but maybe God could show me areas of my life where I'm in bondage to, you know, whatnot. And I could be set free in a moment of time, too. It's not something that has to be programmatic over the course of a long time, but I could be totally delivered from a prison. How about a prison of envy, where a person is just envious of what other people have?
Sure.
You know, a prison of the details of life. Everything has to go according to the details as I have figured it out. the details of life. What's going on here? You know, how come the phones aren't working today, or they are working? But I'm just saying, you know, what's taking place here? I don't know what's going on here. You know, and amazing. Living in Africa, you just never knew when you woke up who was in charge. Which government was which was the government that was operating? I remember one time I was in a certain country. I won't name the country. And I said, I was sitting there, and I saw the army went to war against the police. And this is they're fighting in the streets, the army against the police. I'm thinking to myself, this is crazy. These are the two people you're supposed to trust them for security, the police and the army, and they're looking to kill each other, you know? Right. And I'm thinking, this is unbelievable. What am I doing here, you know? And by the way, I ended up staying there for quite a few years, but it was the instability, you know, and what takes place. And so really, you think about freedom, and you've seen things take place. And so God wants us to be absolutely free. Do we have any? We have Lise on the line.
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
She must have been listening. Lise.
She was listening.
Great to hear you. Are you still in the area?
Hello, Pastor Love.
Bonjour.
Are you right outside?
No, I have something special this afternoon, so that's why I was hesitating. But of course, I love the topic so much. Everything that would be preached, Lord, it's in my little book. I'm going to add all these things in my book and find me what is the overall decision of God. Am I in bondage or am I?
You're free, Lise. We can hear it in your voice.
I know. I laugh, but I may be hiding something, you know? So, yeah, Pastor Love, I saw you yesterday. I was sure I was going to see you, but, you know, there's a lot of people, and, you know.
I know. Are you still here, or have you gone back to Canada?
No, Pastor Love, I wouldn't go back without greeting you somehow, Love.
Oh.
No, I'm here for a month.
Wow, wonderful.
Yeah, I'll be in Bible school. I'll be in your class on Friday morning.
Wow, that's amazing.
Pastor Chevalier's class Friday evening, and many other classes.
You're welcome.
That's great news. So you're staying with some friends?
My daughter.
Wonderful.
I have Praise a beautiful little room for me here in Parkville. It's great.
That's great to hear. I thought that maybe I had missed you and you were heading back to Canada, didn't get a chance to greet you.
No, Pastor Love. I see you on the street now. No, Pastor Love.
Oh, that's so great.
Are you? No, I mean, today I had something. I had to stay home, but tomorrow I want to be in Grace Hour, you know, watching you in person.
Well, we look forward to having you here.
Yeah. So thank you. So, yeah, I call. I don't have much to say every time. Just thank you for Grace Hour.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, we hope that when you hang up, you can keep listening because we're taking our next caller. It's Renee from Montreal.
Renee, that's great. Hallelujah. Okay, bye.
Thanks, Lise. Let's go right
to Renee from
Montreal. Renee, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Renee, thank you for the card you wrote me.
You're welcome.
It was so edifying. Only you could write like that.
And Renee, thank you for the card I did not receive.
Well, it's funny to say. You know, it's snail mail.
Oh, I got you, yeah. I thought that maybe you were just so discouraged about your hockey team in Montreal that you just
Something
couldn't do it. Okay, thank you very much.
Not much. There's not much to say. But anyway, I called to give you information about Lise, but yes, she was quicker than I was to dial the phone.
Isn't that great that she's here for a month?
I'm jealous.
Yes, we wish you both were here.
Yeah, when she left Montreal, I said, oh my goodness, it's like it would be so great to be traveling with you and get there and like, well, you know. So I'm here and I'm listening to Grace Hour and I love you all and I miss you and God is faithful and God is on the throne.
Yep, wow. And you're free. You're free.
Yes, I'm in.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Renee. Great to hear from you. We look forward to seeing you. Just like Lisa's here, we look forward to seeing you soon as well.
Amen. Okay, have a great day. Love you.
God bless you. We love you, too. And, you know, we got some comments from Evie over in Finland.
Evie, talking
about there's a crazy court case that's still continuing there in Finland, and it has to do with somebody that spoke about biblical truth, and they did not want that biblical truth to be spoken about publicly the way it was. And there is a woman who is, I think, a parliament member. She quoted from Romans, the first chapter, and she expressed other biblical convictions throughout these years. And now she's just, they've come against her, full court press against her, Pastor Schiavelli, to keep her from sharing those convictions, those biblical convictions.
But you know how you get out of a full court press? You go up.
There you go. That's right.
You look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So that's key. Yeah,
and Carol Ann, she's written right behind Evie, saying that, yeah, pray for Finland and for Päivi Räsänen, our Christian MP who is in court. There is a question about free speech and what the Bible states about marriage in Romans chapter 1. So I think that's the essence of
it. She has the courage to say it.
She's speaking
that.
Up. God bless her.
I mean, in Finland, there's that problem with really not being able to say things like that, or what?
Apparently, that is the case. So, Father, we want to pray for this
Lord.
This member of parliament in Finland and the courage that she has expressed and the stand that she's taken for biblical truth. Just, again, sharing her convictions and then being persecuted and coming under this assault as a result of it. Lord, continue to give her staying power as she endures all of this. And we pray that you would use this as a way of furthering the gospel, not inhibiting it, not silencing it, but may it be the result of taking it forward, and may others hear the truth about your message in the scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we've heard from our dear friends from Canada, one of them here in Baltimore, one in Montreal. So now it's time for those of you here in the United States to give us a call live on the Grace Hour as the phone lines remain open at 1-800-338-7060 and locally 410-483-3700.
I love it. Absolute freedom. And really. Faith and freedom. What a subject, you know.
Yeah.
And when I live in unbelief, it's such a prison. I just don't believe God, and I'm in a prison in my own mind, you know. And only the Word, which produces faith, can set me free. Only love, which is the source of faith, can set me free. And how important it is for us to have faith. The only way out of bondage. There's no other way out. By faith, we have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And I just love it. When they began to praise the Lord, the foundations of their prison were shaking. Mm. And the doors of their prison were opened. And they came forth. And they were absolutely free. It was a supernatural work of God. And that's what faith is. Faith can deliver you from any area in your life. Any area in my life, I can be delivered. By simply trusting God, having faith in God, and that bondage is over and finished. So so important, so key. I don't care how long that bondage has been going on. I don't care what the bondage is, what the prison is. You can absolutely be set free by the faith of the Son of God.
Mm, how true that is. Tanya has reached out to us, says, wow, hearing from Lise, Renee, so great to hear your voices. Pastor Schiavelli, your message entitled "It Was Good," "It Was God," and "It's Gone" also helps to get rid of fear of losing something in the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
Love to all. God is good all the time. Thank you, Tanya. Great to hear from you as well. And Judy Lee Grant also.
Judy Lee Grant.
She is applauding what's happening
today.
Is that what those little things mean? Yes, those are clapping hands.
Applauding.
Thank you, Judy Lee. And always good to know that you're listening to the Grace Hour.
Maine.
Yeah, up to South Bristol, Maine. David.
South Bristol?
David Norwood, yeah.
Where's that?
David's going to tell us. David, where is South Bristol, Maine?
Working your way down the coast. Yeah,
down the coast. So what city would we recognize South Bristol, Maine in relationship to?
Well,
is it close to Portland, Maine?
No. It's right across the river from Booth Bay Harbor.
Aha.
Booth Bay Harbor. I like how you say that, Booth Bay Harbor.
That's at the old stomping grounds of Pastor Stevens in the early days of the ministry, correct?
That is. That's how I got involved. There were so many cars out in front of the church. I was very curious as to how that many people could fit into such a small building.
Wow. Yeah. Well, we're actually, our engineer has pulled it up on a map in front of us, so we're looking at it on the screen, and wow, I would imagine there's some good lobster in that area.
There's a lot of good lobster up here. My dad, when it was legal to drag lobsters, he'd go out right around December, and he'd say, "What color is Santa Claus anyway?" And he'd pull up a 2,000-pound bag of lobsters.
Oh, boy.
It was quite a scene.
So you have a lot of lobsters and a lot of snow?
We have no snow.
Wow. No snow?
Zero snow, yeah.
My God. Well, I guess it's because you're along the coast, and sometimes you dodge it.
Yeah, we're a couple degrees warmer here. We got global warming on the coast here. Terrible. Oh. Yeah. Well, anyway, I was thinking that the prison of relative self-righteousness must be one of the most difficult ones to recognize and escape from. Mm. So, and it's in us all. But I remember my dear uncle, his son just stripped all his land of all the trees, about 3 acres of trees he knocked down with his excavator. But the ladies are very upset about it here, but I'm all right. It's his land. He's got the deed, just like God owns us. We're his business, yeah. And whenever anyone criticizes anyone, I think he gets quite offended, yeah. So,
Well, you brought up a good point about this whole business of self-righteousness. It is a prison, and perhaps what's even worse than that prison is the blindness in the hearts of those who possess it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can't see it. I mean, just think about it. The self-righteous of Jesus' day didn't think themselves to be self-righteous. They just thought that they were good boys and girls keeping the laws of Moses, when in reality, when God himself was present and in their midst, they couldn't even recognize him. They refused to hear what he said, and ultimately they rejected him.
Yeah, crucified him eventually.
Yeah, but I think that's what self-righteousness would do. It would reject the very righteousness, the only righteousness that God accepts, which is his righteousness given to us as a free gift.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. I tried to explain it to my granddaughter on the ride home to her house yesterday, because the school is promoting Buddha and Muhammad and everybody else, but they won't talk about Jesus. So,
yeah.
So I tried to explain to her that no one else ever said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," and no one else ever died for them, and no one else has an empty grave except for Jesus.
Yeah, well said. As far as we know, those two other individuals were still in the grave, but Jesus, his tomb is empty.
That's right. I think the public school system's in the grave. I'm going to hang up on that one. All right.
All right, David. Great to hear from you. God bless you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
I think that's probably a good statement. I mean, because if they're offering those kind of thought patterns to people, wow. Yeah, and if you have children that go to a public school, it's very important for parents to initiate into them God's life, God's word, God's truth, God's purpose, because, teachers have a lot of power. They really do.
Influence.
A child is before a teacher 8 hours a day, more so than they are before their own parents, and they wield a lot of authority in the mind of people. And so it's very important for us as Christian parents and grandparents or whatever that might be to initiate Christ and the word and life to these young people, because they're being bombarded. And they need a shield of faith. And how are they going to get a shield of faith without the word and all the sources of faith, as we just have been talking about, the Word of God, the love of God, the Spirit of God, the church, really Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Because otherwise, what can happen to somebody's mind? I mean, somebody can go in as a believer. I know some young people have gone into universities as believers and come out as total unbelievers. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, happens a lot.
They were influenced powerfully.
It's so true. And again, now some would say, well, I would like to send my child or children to a Christian school, but I can't afford it. And, you know, we understand that in some cases. I mean, maybe even all of us, best really at one time or another, thought to ourselves, well, can we afford not to?
Exactly.
Right? And for those that really, honestly cannot afford it, we understand that that can be the case so often. That's why the homeschooling programs across the country are flourishing.
Oh, they're flourishing. And that's another alternative.
It is another alternative.
You know, I mean, somebody says, well, I'm not a teacher. I couldn't handle this. You'd be surprised how much the student can just go on by themselves in certain systems that are put into this homeschooling. It's mm-hmm. incredible, really. And it may need some input from the parent, of course. But we did that for like 6 or 7 years, you know. Mm-hmm. And my wife looked at me one time when we were going to Africa. She says, well, who's going to teach them? I said, I'm the pastor. I guess you're the teacher. That's how it's going to work. I'll come in with the Bible, or I'll be the person that has to be the principal. Something goes wrong, you know, but really, I think it's a great alternative. I definitely would choose to do that than the other choices that are available, unless you really hear from God and you're able to put a lot of input, and the students and the children are really have a great foundation in Jesus Christ and the Word, and they can handle it. They can just that can be like water off a duck's back, you know. That's all. They got a shield of faith, and they go in.
And with the agenda that's in the public school system today, you'd be taking such a risk to expose your children to that. And again, if you'd like some more information about a good Christian school, we have one here at the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore. That's the Greater Grace Christian Academy. You can contact us here at the Grace Hour for more information, or go to our ggca.org, I think it's ggca.org website, and find out more information. And reasonably priced too.
And by the way, if you think something is I could not afford that. Well, maybe there's some cutting back I need to do because of the importance of my children's education. Maybe I don't need that third car, or I don't need that mink coat. It's a little bit extreme, but I don't need that. I don't need.
Well, you
that.
Need all those channels on your Comcast.
Yeah,
papers,
yeah.
Right?
I don't. Maybe I don't need that, and maybe I can. I'm making a monthly payment to a school, and who knows? And I'm just thinking about that, because one day you'll be very, very blessed if you see the results of that, of Christian education.
Yeah, it's a great choice, especially in these times that we're living in today. Mm-hmm. Well, Laird Bean says in two separate places, and when Jesus was ministering, he said all that they had to do was to believe. Yeah, it was always about faith, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Whenever it was healing, I just love the fact that when Jesus was, you know, being taken to Jairus' daughter, it started out by faith, and then while he was leading them, mm-hmm. He was interrupted by a woman who was at an issue of blood.
Yeah.
And he stopped, you know, and I could imagine what this daughter's father was thinking. Oh, please don't stop now. It could be, you know, stopping now could mean life or death for my daughter. And then, of course, after he finished with the woman, someone came to him and said, it's too late. Your daughter's dead.
Yeah.
And Jesus just looked at him and said, just believe.
It's so, you know, it's so simple. And I really believe it. It's so simple that people can't receive it sometimes. I preached a message one time called Simple Faith Defeats Sophisticated Darkness. Darkness is sophisticated, but simple faith puts it in the grave. Just very simply believing God. I believe God. It doesn't, I don't know what's happening. That's my sight? No, I'm not worried about sight, my emotions, what people are saying, public opinion, the world's evaluation, what the devil and the demons are trying to do to get me to operate outside of faith. No, simply believe. Simple faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Is that word impossible? Well, nothing's nothing is, you know, impossible with God. Well, without faith, it's impossible. What? It's impossible without faith. No faith. I can't please God without faith. And so simply trusting in him. And he's the initiator of all the sources. That faith is not in me as a source. It's in God.
Yeah. And the great thing about it, some people say, well, that just sounds, you know, so laborious. How am I going to get? Listen, faith is simply believing God. Faith is the only thing that you do that when you've done it, you realize you haven't done anything. It's an attitude more than an activity or an action.
Right.
So, you know, it's the frame of mind, and it's what comes forth out of the soul that just says, God, I trust you, even without any evidence. And that's amazing.
I have been young, and now I am old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. 23-25. Great verses I was reading.
Amen. Well, we're going to wrap things up here, friends. Pastor Duke is joining us. We only have less than a couple of minutes. Pastor Duke, you'll have to be brief.
Sure, Pastor Love. Quick, just want to let everyone know that the public education system in our country, their leaders have been speaking recently, and one of the leaders said this, and I have the quote here. He literally said, every child in America is mentally ill because of certain allegiances to our founding fathers, a supernatural being, elected officials, and their parents. And they have a belief in the sovereignty of this nation as a separate entity. It's up to you, he's addressing the public school teachers that are present. It's up to you, public school teachers, to make all these sick children well by creating the international child of the future.
Oh, boy.
That's the goal of public education.
Well, we're certain that will fail.
It's the goal of the devil.
Amen.
Yeah.
So I thank God for GGCA and also my wife and I. We've homeschooled our kids. And even though I'm very sick, I homeschool my little girl. So praise God for the truth. Amen.
Amen. We've got your youngest son, Ryan, here in our Christian day school, and he's a blessing and growing in his faith. Thanks for joining us, friends. We're out of time. We'll be back tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of the Grace Hour. We hope you'll join us then.
Thanks for listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.